We're now going to invite Jean-Yves Maillard to present. Jean-Yves works at the Cardiff University in the Pharmaceutical Microbiology Department and has a wealth of experience on looking at antimicrobial resistance to microbial resistant to antimicrobials, can't get my word out, and looking at efficacy test protocols, etc. Jimmy's been talking about liquid disinfectants, but we're seeing many, many disinfectants now being used in the form of wipes. And Jean-Yves is going to present now on the work that he's been doing, looking at testing the efficacy of disinfectants impregnated wipes. So thank you very much, Jean-Yves.
Thank you very much, Tina and Bill, for sharing this session. Thank you for the invitation to talk at this meeting. I feel I'm missing a slide. I should really have a picture of Jimmy on my slide as well to thank him how important it is in in that group and in the work we do. So I'm sorry, Jimmy, I haven't got a picture of you there. So what I'm going to talk about is more about the testing development on sporicidal wipes, but also the need really for an appropriate test. And my talk also going to link a bit what Jimmy has mentioned in his talk as well about the lack of an appropriate standard, especially for those type of product. And I also will mention some product claims. So really the three parts I want to mention in my talk is the, very briefly, because you've seen that yesterday, the role of surfaces in microbial transmission. And then I'll talk about sporicidal wipes on current claims and how difficult is that to make, and then test requirements on development. And I'll talk about what we've been doing in Cardiff. So as you know now, you've got a huge amount of product, huge amount of wipes being there and marketed with a various number of claims, huge amount of competitions between different manufacturers. It's a very profitable market, but very competitive. So it's why you're having all those claims being made, and you've got number of companies, and some of them want to know a bit more about the product, and they're really requesting an appropriate test so they can make the appropriate label claim. Now, I've just been involved with SATA writing a review, and I think Bill said it will be out in May next year. That paper has been accepted, and in that review that we're publishing for the American market in AJEC, then they don't use the term wipe, but towelette. And I've got a problem with that word, towelette, probably being French. But just this slide, just to show you how important those type of applicators for disinfectant is, and you see them either with impregnated wipes or towelette, but you can also see them where you've got a spray on wipes, where you spray disinfectant on the surface and you wipe. So you've got loads of application that making use of those type of product. But funny enough, then you don't have really an appropriate test to really look at the efficacy of those product. What you have is test looking at the efficacy of the disinfectant, but not at the combination between the wipes material, the towelettes, and the disinfectant. Now, that's a very similar slide that Jimmy showed you. We're very busy, I guess, here in ITUs with loads of surfaces proximal to patients. And I think it's where, for me, I believe the role of wipes or the potential of wipes to remove bio burden from surfaces, especially proximal to patient, it's why the role of wipe is very important. And that's why they make a difference, because when you've got especially vertical surfaces, I mean, those wipes, touch button and so on, those wipes are extremely important, and they can make a difference if they work. Now, we know about environmental contaminations, although there's very few data linking environmental contaminations with a clinical outbreak. There's a bit more studies being done now, but I think Stephanie Dancer just mentioned that before. What is the current evidence? We know that you've got common surfaces and articles heavily contaminated with microorganisms. We know that there's quite a lot of now information about how you can pick up on the hands those contamination and transfer those contaminants to different surfaces and to the patients. Now, the majority of information we have about contamination on environmental surfaces is, well, I would say, anecdotal studies where some researchers in some hospitals worldwide have looked at very specific surfaces and find a very large number of bioburden, large number of contaminants. But by large, there's very little information about are those contaminants ended up doing an infection into patients. You don't have any follow-up study on those contaminants. And as Jimmy mentioned in his talk, the only sort of information you have is when you've got a disinfectant product, let me mention those spray bottles contaminated in this case with Pseudomonas, but you've got other examples that are causing quite some outbreak in some hospital. Those are the really the only information we have about contamination of disinfectant product on outbreaks. Now, it was a very nice review looking at the literature about how many microorganisms normally we've got on the surfaces. On quite a number of papers, you will see you have generally quite a low number of microorganisms on those surfaces. But again, as Mark Wilcox yesterday said, with C. diff, it's quite special because the infective dose is very, very low. So even if you've got few microorganisms on the surfaces, how pathogenic are those microorganisms? Now, in some work we've done in the past, really on hand rubs, what we've done is looking at the nurses, infection control nurses, in terms of compliance to hand rubs. But we've done further than that, where we're really looking what was going on after they touched an object or touched the patients. And in the hospital, we were able to actually read the percentages of risk associated with the way they were working with the patients. And in red, I put in red, what is very important for today's talk, where you have a potential staff-to-object cross-contamination, potential object-to-object cross-contamination, and so on, where the surface is implicated. And you can see those rating we have in terms of percentages there. They are quite high. And the point I'm trying to make is, when you've got contaminant on the surfaces, then yes, you have a high risk of transmission of those contaminants. Again, that goes with really looking at how do we remove those contaminants from surfaces. Now, my talk will focus a bit more on sporicides. And talking about C. diff, we know that we can find C. diff everywhere, especially as Jamie mentioned, floor, commode, toilets, bedpans, and so on. We know they can persist in the environment. There's still some studies saying they can persist up to 5 months. And linking reduction in CDI with environmental contamination is not an easy task. And in that study, for example, they defined some link with one ward, but not the two wards they were studying. So it's a very, very difficult exercise to do. So in summary, when you've got contaminated surface, the patient can pick those contamination, the healthcare worker can pick those contaminations. And what can we do to try to decrease that risk is, well, use surface disinfection, liquid disinfectant, use of antimicrobial wipes, which are really my talk today, but also there's some talk about antimicrobial surfaces, but I think that's a completely different subject. But something we need to look at on some evidence coming up from clinical trial. Now, what do we know about a sporicidal and sporicidal wipes on claims? So a few years ago, we were involved in looking at the efficacy of a number of commercially available wipes that claim sporicidal activity. And we tested all those different wipes. This is the claims, and you can see in red most of the active of those wipes, when they are disclosed, are a biocides that are known to be sporistatic but not sporicidal. Those biocides are not to kill spores, but to prevent germinations. And yet, you've got claim on sporicidal activity. Again, I want to make that clear. I don't blame those companies to making those claims. It's probably most of the company in good faith. They sent their product to be tested in some test laboratories, and the results come with a 3-log reductions in spore count. And you're thinking, well, it's sporicidal activity. But I'll talk to you a bit more about what's actually happening with those type of product. Now, since we've published that work, you've got now quite a wide range of product available with wipe, either impregnated wipes or spray-on wipes, claiming sporicidal activity, but the big change in those product is all but one of now contain active that are sporicidal. All those active will kill spores. at the right concentration on contact time, but that's a different story. But at least those active can have a spiracidal activity, but one which really a blend of surfactant. Also the other odd things what's going on with this company on making claims is some of them are making claim again killing vegetative Clostridium difficile. I mean, what maybe Jimmy didn't mention in his presentation is Clostridium difficile is a strict anaerobe. It will not survive aerobically. So if you've got a disinfectant and if you test vegetative microorganisms, C. diff microorganisms, they won't exist in the environment. They won't exist in the ward. They'll all be killed by the oxygen. So you don't need a disinfectant to kill them. They will be killed by the oxygen. What matters with C. diff is the spores. So again, it's the probably misunderstanding of those companies when they ask the test to be done. There, I believe that it's important to test again the vegetative microorganisms. But no, they can only test against the spores. And that leads to some spiritual claims, and when we look a bit further for some product where they're being tested, is, as Jimmy mentioned, there is no specific test at the moment for looking at the efficacy of sporicide against C. difficile. So companies need to use existing tests and adapt those tests, but it's really not very clear when they put some information on their website. For example, product A, sporicide will kill Clostridium difficile spores on the test, the EN test there that they've done. But when we're looking really what the test is for, this one is it's a bactericidal test. It doesn't mention spores. So it's very weird that they're using or they're claiming that EN1276 when they're doing spores work. On this one, it's a basic sporicidal test. So it's a suspension test. There's no soiling. And as Jimmy mentioned in his talk, 60-minute contact time. So there's no dirty conditions. So here you've got some claim in that product, but it doesn't really match what they've done with the test. The same with product B. Again, Clostridium difficile spores and vegetative. We don't know, again, why they're testing vegetative cells. But, again, this is not a sporicidal test. Another one that I mentioned a few years ago in a talk, and I look again on the website recently, and there was still that sort of information on the website from that company for that product C. And here you've got 100% kill of vegetative cell of C. diff. And I said, it is nonsense to test against vegetative cells. But when you look at the details there, well, they grow the cells with cooked meat broth. Anyone working with C. diff knows it's not the ideal media to do that, but fair enough. And then they went on saying, well, we've got that inoculum, we put that on the surfaces, we test our disinfectant, and then what's left, we inoculate in anaerobic jar. But that test with vegetative microorganism, they do not mention they do that anaerobically. So if they do not use anaerobically, then basically they've got 100% kill of vegetative cells just because of the oxygen. So nothing to do with disinfectant. The cells will be killed readily by the oxygen in the room. So the EPA is quite more advanced, I guess, in the claim, and it's making very clear that EPA requires that all disinfectant products registered for the use against C. diff must be efficacious against the spore or not to vegetative forms. And that's a very clear message, and that's a message we should have in the UK. Don't test your sporicide against vegetative cells, test it against the spores. And also it recognizes that it is actually very difficult to sporulate C. diff to very high concentration, hence Jimmy's talk before mine, just trying to find a media that will enable us to do that. Now, to the talks about wipes and the importance of wipes. I mean, wipes are quite, when you look at that, you've got lots of factors that will affect the efficacy of those wipes. And you can distinguish those factors in red with the way the wipes are being used, and in green is actually the wipe materials. So you can see those different points. Again, you see all those arrows in red, the way the wipes are being used in practice really affects the activity. And here, which is the target microorganisms. So remember that. So to give a bit more understanding about those factors that will affect the efficacy of wipes, well, we've got the type of wipes, the material, the size, the thickness, the amount of detergent will affect the ability of the wipes to pick up, in this case, spores from on soiling from the surface. The biocide wet ratio, detergent, will affect the activity, and all those factors will affect the ability to retain spores in those wipes. Release of biocides, I'll talk to that in a minute. Wipe actions, type and frequency of wipe actions, on the pressure, very important. Again, it affects the ability to pick up spores on soiling. Again, the efficacy of the wipes, or the importance of that, is to pick up or to reduce environmental contaminations. And then contact time, surfaces also will affect the efficacy of those wipes. On neutralization, recovery from carrier, it's more a problem with the test procedure. So far, you've got quite a number of standards that mention the use of wipes. But what is striking with AOAC method or ASTM method, or different ones, or even the new EN4 field test, which is still under development at the moment, is in most of those tests, the wiping method is not controlled. And I've just shown you the factors affecting efficacy. You've got quite loads of red arrows saying that where the wipes are being used is extremely important. So those methods, to me, they're really lacking because the wiping action is not controlled. The four field test, the one under development at the moment, again, the pressure of the wipes is controlled. It's a back and forth movement test, which is very little relevance to the way the wipes should be used in practice in the healthcare environment. And I'll talk a bit more about three-stage tests, the tests we've developed in my lab. The US EPA also recommend the use or mention the use of wipes for against viruses, mycobacteria, but they're all based on the AOAC method where the wiping action is not controlled. So again, those tests really don't look at that very important factor. So how do we develop proper wipe test for sporicide, but also all the microorganisms, or the biocide, or the disinfectant, is first by looking at where the wipes are being used in practice, and we've done that quite a number of years ago. And you can see the contact time between the wipe and surface is very low, and most of the wipes were used on multiple surfaces. So, therefore, what we decided as important test development is looking at three parameters. The first one is how good the wipes are to remove the bioburden from the surfaces. Can they transfer the bioburden between surfaces? And does the disinfectant within the wipe or the sporicide within the wipes kill actually the microorganism within the wipes? So that's the basis of the three-stage test that we've developed in my lab. Those are an old slide that I've shown in many conferences. That's the results with a number of wipes we tested. That's the control wipes, 5,000 ppm sodium hypochlorite. But you can see that apart from this wipe here, lots of wipes were very poor in picking up the bioburden from the surfaces. So those wipes are at the moment failing the first or the most important part of what a wipe should do is picking up bioburden. On lots of wipes, we're very good at transferring microorganisms, in this case spores, between surfaces. So what it means is they pick up the spores, or the few spores they pick up, they can transfer that in different surfaces. You've got the huge risk of spreading spores all around those surfaces. On some wipes, we're actually transferring more spores than inoculated because they were breaking spore aggregates and releasing loads of spore, even more spore in the different surfaces. So those really wipes are really risky to use in the healthcare environment. In terms of activity, well, those are the liberal claim. That's our control, so we've got very good activity at 5-minute contact time. And you would notice that some of those wipes, although those contain a very complex quack formulation, they show some sporicidal activity. And in fact, with those who have they show some sporicidal activity at 10 seconds, but not at 5 minutes. And what happened here is we've got a sporistatic action. Because when we're looking at a sporicidal activity, the way it works, we're looking at a cell that will germinate. And if they are prevent for to germinate, then they won't form a colony. And because you're counting the colony on the plate, then you're thinking that you're going to have some acetyl activity. And that's what Jimmy mentioned in his talk. Neutralization for those very complex formulations, quite base formulation, is absolutely critical. And it is a very difficult task to do. So by and large, all those products don't have a very poor sporicidal activity. So what's next in what we're doing? Well, this is our setup in the lab, very academic setups. You know, that's a nice drill. We've got the wipes at the bottom there, which is the balance. We can measure the pressure. We can control the rotation of that drill that gives us that movement. So it's not very really good if we want to spread that techniques away. So what we've done with Satar and in collaborations with three manufacturers is I've designed, or helped designing this white Pareto, it's called, where it looks much better. And what we have now is we embark into a multi-lab test protocol on the results. We hope, or we will use the results for a submission to ASTM standard. And we hope to do that early in the next year. And hopefully by sometime next year, we will have the first really purpose test for antimicrobial wipes. Now, a very addition to our thinking as well, not about sporicides, but about disinfectants. And there's lots of talk about residual activity. As an academic, I keep my options open. I'm very open-minded. By and large, I don't really support residual activity, so that the biocide left on the surfaces, because in sort of what I do a lot on resistance to biocide, I think residual activity might cause some problems. But in some instances, where you ensure that the concentration of the biocides left on the surfaces is quite high, then residual activity might make sense. And we've adapted our three-stage test to really look at residual efficacy, and that was done not in spores, but with Acinetobacter baumannii and Staph aureus. And what we can see is, for that product in particular, we tested is what we do is we wipe a surface before we inoculate the surface with a microorganism. So we do the normal wiping for 10 seconds. We leave the surface for half an hour, and when we inoculate the surface with the microorganisms, and after a 5-minute contact time, we see if there's any survivors in those microorganisms on that surfaces. And you can see you've got a nice log reductions in Acinetobacter and in Staph aureus. And in control wipes against sodium hypochlorite, which do not leave a residual activity, then you can see you've got only any reductions in numbers. So again, that's a three-stage test can be further developed to test other combination and other a potential use of those wipes. So to conclude, better understanding. I mean, as I said, I think the wipe market is booming at the moment, but there's still very little understanding on what is going on, how to improve the product. Now, I think we cover all those points with the three-stage test, where we're really putting an effort to understand and to measure those factors inherent to how the wipe is being used. What remains to be done for those manufacturers is to understand better the ratio between disinfectant on the wipe or detergent biocide ratio in the wipe. So they need to understand those ratios to really improve their product. And I think that's a way forward for them. The nature and use and history of the surface as well is very important. And again, there's very little information on the interaction between the wipe, the disinfectant, on the surface or the target surfaces. And again, that's an area for improvement to end up with a fantastic product. On target microorganisms, so far we test spores, we need working very well. We're testing vegetative microorganisms, we know they're working very well for that as well. And we hopefully will embark to test viruses as well, and I can see that that's working very well. Now, to conclude, the last two slides is again based on that paper that will be released in May. We're trying to, in a table, to ask some very pertinent questions as to the usage of wipes, on what should be done, and where should we go next. Should wipes be tested against individual types and species of pathogens? Yes, they can do, but our recommendation is for label claim, we need to keep them very uncomplicated. If on what type of soil load should be used, I mean that, again, the test should be flexible enough to really represent the soil load that matter depending on the applications. Should test organism recovered from the toilet used for decontamination? We really don't see a point of doing that, so that's not really the purpose of that. Should product labels not specify the ratio between, should specify the ratio between disinfectant volume on the surface area to be decontaminated by wiping? Now, there's something I've discussed with many manufacturers that we need to have a very clear indication in the label how the wipes are being used, what is the the shelf life of those wipes, especially when they open. So you need to really to have very clear indication on those wipe product. And what control should be including in testing the wipes? Again, the number of viable microorganisms we've got on the surfaces, the loss of viability of those microorganisms during drying. Some microorganisms like Pseudomonas and E. coli, they will be killed on drying. You're losing 99% of those microorganisms just by drying. So we've got to be very careful about using those microorganisms. Staph aureus and Acinetobacter, they're fine. And we need to have information about physical removal of the test microorganism from the carrier by a controlled blank toilet. Those are absolutely key points to have a proper test or proper information on how the wipes are efficacious. So I hope I answered quite a number of informations and provide you quite an update on where we are with the test. As I said, hopefully the good news is hopefully in sometime next year there will be we'll have a standard for really using those antimicrobial wipes out there on a standard that company can be used, but also the end users can really see that those wipes are actually making the product clean. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Millard. Thank you very much for a wonderful conference.